where it's instruments only one of these times. Pastor Dan, you know? Yeah, right. So maybe today yet one of the songs, maybe they could pick which song and just do instruments only. I got to preach short? Well, one of the reasons I always get to preach is because I am short. We know that he's always going to be short. Grab your Bibles, please, and open to John 8, please. John 8. Oh, dear. As you open there, a reminder to you that John wrote his gospel with a purpose. And I'm sure that you know that purpose. It's written at the end of John's gospel. He wrote his gospel in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, keep that in mind, he wrote it, this gospel, so that by believing you might have what? Life in his name. Life in his name. What kind of life is that? Joyful, difficult, challenging, fulfilled. I have a few more words for you as you open to John 8, and these come from each chapter. If you go through chapter by chapter through the book of John, you could get answers to that question of what kind of life is the Christian life. I'll go through these rather quickly. For example, life in Jesus' name or the Christian life is an evangelistic life from chapter 1. Remember, John the Baptist is preaching the gospel that people might believe, and then as Jesus gets new disciples one by one, they go and get others that they might believe. John's gospel is written that you might have life in Jesus' name. That's an evangelistic life, a life where you're concerned about the gospel. Second, it's a transformed life. Remember, Christ's first sign was turning water into wine, which points to the new birth. Remember, there were six vessels. He had six disciples. And Jesus completely changed what was inside those vessels. It was dirty, filthy water from washing hands. And he turned it into light or wine that gave joy to all those around. Well, that's a picture of the new birth. And the Christian life is a transformed life. Third, John 3:16, the Christian life is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. Chapter 4, the Christian life is a fulfilled to overflowing life. Remember what he said to the woman at the well? If you knew who it is who asks you, and if you knew the gift of God, you would ask, and he would give to you living waters, which would become in you water bubbling up unto eternal life. It is a fulfilled, even to overflowing life. It is a Christ-honoring life. From chapter 5, remember Jesus said he is so equal with God that all must honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Those who don't honor Jesus Christ as God dishonor God. It's a satisfied life from chapter 6. Remember Jesus said, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread shall never hunger again. And you know what? If you have Jesus Christ, you're not hungering for somebody different. You are satisfied in Jesus Christ. And very quickly, chapter 7, the Christian life is a confident life. Remember Jesus said, if you're willing to do the will of God, you will know of the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak for myself. Well, if you've done the will of God, and if you believe in Jesus Christ, you know this is from God. It's a life of confidence. It's a secure life from John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of this world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, I'll quickly go through the last ones. It's a bold life. Blind man. Remember how bold the blind man was? And how bold was Brother Dan this morning to sing that song? That was awesome, Dan. I love that. He sang thanks to God for things that he has not seen. May we take an example from that and be so thankful for the things that we have seen and look forward to the day when Dan is going to see all those things he sang about. All right, it's a full life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full or more abundantly. It is a resurrection life, chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. It is a sacrificial life, chapter 12, when Jesus said, a seed that doesn't fall into the ground remains alone, but once it falls into the ground and dies, it can produce many or much grain. It's a life of loving service. Chapter 13, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. It is a life of obedience. Jesus said in chapter 14, whoever loves me will obey my commandments. It is a life of fruitfulness. Chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. In this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Chapter 16, it is the life of peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives to you. It is a life of, and I can't read my own handwriting, Oh, and I think Brian yelled this out, is a life of sanctification. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Chapter 18, it is a life of truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Chapter 19, it is a life of tough handwriting. Oh, witnessing. A life of witnessing. And in chapter 19, verse 35, you can see there, witnessing. It is a life of blessedness, chapter 20, because Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And then chapter 21, it is the life of following, because Jesus said to Peter, what is that to you? You follow me. All right, you can go chapter by chapter, and you can find out what kind of life the Christian life is. With that, I want you to take a look at John 8, 25 to 30. This section, as I think you'll hear and see, is about the words of Jesus Christ. And key to having a satisfied, fulfilling, peaceful, joyful, service-oriented life, like we just described, key to that is believing Jesus. Not just believing in him, but believing what he says is true, believing what he commands is right. So John 8, 25 to 30. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. Notice the words say and speak and words as we walk through. Verse 26, I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now this section is a little difficult. We're seeing here a dialogue between Jesus Christ and Jews who had not yet believed in him. And last time we looked at what a terrible state it is to be in if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ after you have heard his words. But here we see Jesus continues to talk with them, and the outcome, verse 30, says, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And I'll tell you, one reason why is because Jesus Christ just gave them every reason to believe. And that's what I want you to see. We're going to walk through this text. I'm not going to tell you how many things because I don't want to scare you. But there are a number of things I want you to see in these verses that give you reason to believe. And by believing these things, it is the key to living life in Jesus' name. Notice first the consistency of Jesus' words. The consistency of Jesus' words. Notice verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? And they probably mean, you know, who do you think you are? And Jesus says to them, verse 25, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. In other words, Jesus' message never changed. From the beginning of his ministry, and even Jesus, some say, may be referring to the very beginning. And even if we go back to the very beginning of time, the message of Jesus never changes, especially concerning who he is. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. That's a title. What does it mean? Jesus is the anointed one. What does that mean? Jesus is the one sent by God to man so that you can be saved from your sins. That's who he is. And that message never changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8, and the same is true of his words. Christ's doctrine is consistent. It never changes. The gospel never changes. I mean, this is good news concerning the gospel. It doesn't change. If you teach your children the gospel, and if you teach your children to teach their children the gospel, you will have the joy of watching your children teach your children's children the same message that you heard from grandma, grandpa, whoever taught you the gospel. Because it's consistent. It never changes. And this is a reason to believe. Listen, how many world leaders have a message that never changes? No, their message changes all the time. And it changes in order to please man. Our gospel never changes. And we never change the gospel in order to please man. One of the reasons our church is, 180 and not 5,000 is because we don't change the message. You know, some churches, they're the largest church on the planet because, I don't know. I'm just here to encourage. I really can't talk about who might go to hell because, nobody knows. If you didn't recognize that, that's Joel Osteen in an interview on national television where they asked him time and time again what his view was on hell. And he said, I don't know. I'm just here to encourage. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. That's the truth. You might not like it, but it's true. And who said it? Jesus himself. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Just think about the consistency of Christ's words. What is the consistency of Christ's words? 100%. Jesus Christ is 100% consistent. He doesn't change the message. Second, think about the concern of Christ's words. This one's really easy. Take a look at verse 26. Jesus says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. You are the concern of Jesus' words. And then if you keep reading in verse 26, take a look. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world. Right? I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. The concern, what I mean is the audience. The concern of Jesus' words is you and everybody that you know and everyone you will ever meet. You know, Brother Seth is soon going to Honduras, and he gave testimony this morning in Sunday school that God has provided. I think you already have tickets to the plane, right? You're going down to Honduras. Guess whom Christ's words concern. Guess whom Christ's words concern. Hondurans. Anybody going on? I heard Livy might be going to India in the fall. Is it true? Jesus' words concern those in India and Russia and on whatever is the name of the street you live on. Consider the concern of Christ's words. The concern of Christ's words is you and everyone you'll ever meet. Everyone is an opportunity, either for evangelism or discipleship or counseling or all three. That is the concern of Christ's words. People who need the Lord. That's a reason to believe. And to believe that is a reason or is a way to enjoy life in Jesus' name. A life in Jesus' name is a life of service, of evangelism, of discipleship, of counseling, of confronting. And you need to know that Christ's words concern everyone you will ever talk to. Third, think about the character of Christ's words. The character of Christ's words. Jesus says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. No, stop there. Jesus is talking to the Jews here. And he says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And what Jesus is going to say is, I give those words as the Father gives them to me. Now, in this context, of course, Jesus was not laying everything on them all at once. When he says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, you might say, well, where? Rest of chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, and so forth. So, only in time. But his point to these Jews is that Jesus has been given many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he is dependent upon the Father for what he says and when he says it, and the Father is blank. Take a look at verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. You know what that means? Faithful. Trustworthy. One who is to be trusted. And what Jesus is saying here is, you can trust Jesus Christ and everything he says. You can trust when he says it, where he says it, when he opens people's eyes to understand it. You don't have to worry about that. I like that. This is the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Doc, where are you? There you are. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Okay? The God who sent Jesus Christ into this world is true. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. You don't need to worry about when Jesus opens your son's eyes to the gospel. You don't need to worry about where. You just need to be faithful to do what Jesus has called you to do. Live according to his word, proclaim it by your life and with your lips, and leave the results in the hands of God. This is good news. And all I'm saying is think about the character of Christ's words. They are true. They're trustworthy because of who gave him the words to say, the Father. But not only that, and this one's really important, the character of Christ's words, they are, here's a big English word, they're unassailable. unassailable. It has nothing to do with sailing. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus says. You will understand what this means by the time I'm done. Verse 26, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Now, Jesus is saying, I only say what the Father gives me to say. Verse 27 says, they didn't understand that he spoke to them of the Father. We'll come back to that. Verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, we'll come back to that also, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Now, we've heard this before, and I'm going to ask you to look at it because we need to grasp what is the point that Jesus is making. Turn back to John 5:19. John chapter 5, verse 19. In this context, Jesus had made himself equal to God. Why? Because he is equal to God. They didn't like that. They took up stones to kill him. And verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. Drop down to verse 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Back to John 8. Verse 28b, I do nothing of myself. What is Jesus saying here, and what's the point of it? Okay, well, he's saying, not only did Jesus, throughout his life and earthly ministry, not only did he never do anything that was merely of his own will, he couldn't. Jesus was not able to do anything that was merely of his flesh, merely of his own will. He was able only to do those things that were of the Father's will. Do you get that? Okay, this is known as the impeccability of Christ. Talked about it before, subject for another time. But what I want you to grasp is what this means when it comes to Jesus' words. Think about this. I'll try to make this clear. Okay? Obviously, whatever he's saying, it matters a lot because he says it repeatedly. Okay, so it definitely matters. Let me ask it this way. Was any word or deed or decision of Jesus Christ, was any of it ever merely of himself? No. Good answer. No. No. It was never merely of himself. Meaning, every single word and every single deed and every single decision was of the one who sent him. Meaning, of God. All right? So could anything that Jesus ever said, could anything that Jesus ever did, could any judgment that Jesus ever made rightly be called into question by mere man? No. Why not? Because we are in no place to question God. Not only is Jesus Christ God, but he's letting you know that everything that comes from him is of God. What does that mean? That means that the words of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Christ, the judgments of Christ are unassailable. Oh, that's a big word. Nice English word. What does that mean? Unassailable. You know what that means? Great English word. Impossible to successfully deny or dispute. Now listen, have people tried to deny certain teachings of Jesus? Oh yeah, all the time. Have people tried to distort, to discredit, to overthrow, to cast out doctrines of Jesus? Oh, yeah, people have tried for ages. Can anyone ever succeed? No. You know what that is? A massive reason to believe. That is a massive reason to believe in Jesus Christ. Because nothing he ever says or ever does can ever be successfully defeated by any man. Every man that tries proves himself a fool and will be exposed as such in due time. And so were the Jews. Constantly, these Jews are trying to expose Jesus, and constantly it comes back in their face. Why? Because you can't do it. Because Jesus is never speaking merely of himself. Everything he says is of God. And so I'm telling you, before it even happens, every judgment of Jesus Christ is true and unassailable. Every promise he makes will definitely come to pass. Everything he says you should do is good, wise, and right. Or he wouldn't tell you to do it. Didn't say it's easy, but it's good, wise, and right. What is this? It's a reason to believe. And it's the key to living the Christian life. Want to live a life that's evangelistic, fulfilled, filled with trials, and nevertheless you can be of good cheer because he's overcome the world? Listen to Jesus Christ and do what he says. Why? Think about the consistency of his words. 100% consistent. Think about the concern of his words. His words concern you. Think about the character of his words. 100% true and reliable and absolutely unassailable. You can't defeat them. You can't deny them. You're never going to find greater wisdom because it's all of God the Father. All right. A side note. We've got to keep going. Side note. I hope you grasp this. Because everything Jesus says is of the Father, and because not just everything he says, but everything he does, verse 28, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me. Because that's true, that means that everything Jesus does and says is worthy of study. Because you're studying God in action. You're studying, like, man, if God came to earth, what would he do? If God came to earth, what would he say? What would he not say? How would he say what he said? How would he deal with circumstances? How would he deal with situations? How would he deal with if this happened and if this happened and if this happened? You study Jesus Christ and you have the answer. Which is why Jesus said, when they said, well, just show us the Father. And Jesus goes, oh, have I been with you so long? No, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because everything I do is of the Father and everything I say is of the Father. This is a reason to study the life of Jesus Christ. For example, you can study how Jesus preaches the gospel and you have the best study you could ever have in evangelism. You could study how Jesus does discipleship. You have the best study you could ever have of discipleship. You can look at how Jesus does counseling. You'll have the best study you could ever have of counseling. Seriously. You can look at how Jesus deals with false teachers. There is no greater study of dealing with false teachers. Why? Because every single thing he does is of the Father. It's how God would do it if he came to earth in a body. Why? Because God came to earth in a body, in the body of Jesus Christ. Fourth, notice the crux of Jesus' words. What is it? Verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, stop. Reference to the crucifixion. What is the crux of Jesus' words? It is the cross. The crux means the center point, but it's a word that comes from crucifixion, right? The crux of the matter means the cross of the matter, right? The crux of Jesus' words is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a God in heaven who is holy, righteous, and good. And that God created everything in the world, including us, and made us in his image. And we all have sinned against that God. And God, by justice, would be righteous to cast us all off from him forever, but he didn't. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And Christ came, was born of the Virgin Mary, took on flesh and blood, lived a sinless life, sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the price for sins, was buried, rose up from the dead on the third day, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs to countless witnesses over a period of 40 days, ascended back into heaven, and soon is coming again. You know what you'd be wise to do? Believe in him. Why? Well, think about the consistency of his words. That message I just said has never changed. Think about the concern of his words. It's you. Think about the character of his words. It's true and unassailable. And think about the crux of his words. It's the message by which you can be saved. It's the only message by which you can be saved. I saw somebody in this room wearing a t-shirt. I really like it a lot. I think I want to get one. And it has Acts 4:12. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Right, Bruce? Not calling you out or anything, but it's a cool shirt. And you wear it well. And I asked, where can you get a shirt like that? And he said, Mardell's in spring. So I can't wait to get to Mardell's. Cool shirts that proclaim the gospel. What am I telling you? I am telling you, God wants you to live the Christian life. He wants you to have life in his name. What's the key to that? Believing. By believing, you would have life in his name. What's the key to that? Believing Jesus. believing his words. Why should I do that? Because the consistency of his words is 100%. Because the concern of his words is you and everyone you will ever meet. Because the character of his words is true, completely reliable, and unassailable. No one will ever successfully defeat the words of Jesus Christ. And because the crux, the center point of all that Jesus has to say is the cross. The message by which you can be born again, have all your sins forgiven. Notice, number five, I'm trying to be short. The co-worker, the co-witness of Christ's words. Jesus says, verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. That's a hard saying. I don't think he means, talking to these Jews, I don't think he means, when you lift up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will all be saved. I think he does mean, when you lift up the Son of Man, when you crucify him, many Jews are going to come to know that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and many will be saved. And 3,000 were on the day of Pentecost. Okay? So I think what he is saying is there is no greater evidence to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah than his cross work. When Christ went to the cross, he fulfilled what you see in Psalm 22, the suffering of the Messiah. He fulfilled what you see in Isaiah 53. All right, so he's saying to the Jews, when you lift up the Son of Man like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, you're going to know that I am the Messiah. You're going to know that I am the one that God sent. You're going to know that I am everything the Messiah was to be, which was including God in the flesh. But notice what else he says. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things, verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Who is speaking with Jesus whenever Jesus is speaking? The Father. That, again, makes his words unassailable. The co-witness, the co-worker of Jesus Christ is God the Father. That's a reason to believe, and that's why he's giving it here. He did the same thing back in John 5. He said, listen, if I'm the only one who's testifying of these things, then, yeah, my testimony's not true, but I'm certainly not the only one testifying. God the Father is testifying that Jesus is God, that he's the way of salvation, that there is no other way, that he is the revelation of God to mankind. What am I saying? Jesus' words have a co-witness. The co-witness is God himself. Therefore, you should believe everything Jesus says. And that is key to enjoying life in his name. Sixth, notice the catch of Christ's words. Jesus was fishing for men here. That's what he was always doing. He's fishing for men. Verse 29, he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. That's the catch of Jesus' words. He caught people, right? They believed in him. And now some of these we're going to find out were not true believers, but I think some were. That's a reason for you to believe what Jesus says and to tell them to others. See if you can finish this verse with me. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world by its wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of a preached message, that is through the gospel, to save whom? Those who believe. And only those who believe. Jesus is living according to that principle here. Jesus is fishing for men. His bait is his words. That's it. Sometimes it's words about judgment. Sometimes it's words about salvation. Sometimes it's words about anything. Jesus is catching men by his words. And here we see the catch. Many, not catch in a negative sense, fishing catch. Get that? We see the catch, what he netted. And he netted many who believed. This is good news, beloved. It is the words of Christ that we must speak. We're to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I've just given you, pretty quickly, six reasons to believe. The consistency of Christ. And I mean to believe Jesus and what he says. To believe every doctrine of Christ. The first is the consistency of Christ's words. Jesus Christ's doctrine never changes. It's 100% consistent. Second is the concern of his words. Christ's words concern you and the world. Everyone you will meet, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, everyone you know. Then we talked about the character of Christ's words. Christ's words are completely true because he was sent by the Father and everything he said was of the Father. And his words are unassailable, impossible to be overthrown, impossible to be proven wrong. And it's when you know that, when that's your conviction, you know it for a fact, it's crazy to watch people try. They are trying to defeat the Word of God. It will never be defeated. But that's a reason for us to keep believing, right? To be strong in our faith. We talked about the crux of Christ's words. It is the gospel. The co-witness of Christ's words, the Father. The catch of Christ's words, people who believe. But there's one more. So seven is the number. Seven things for you to consider from this text. And it is the condemnation of Christ's words. Back to what we looked at last week. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, I'm going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. They said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. He said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. Verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe, what will happen? You will die in your sins. Here's the truth. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, if you do not believe that he is God in the flesh, if you do not believe Jesus Christ, as in if you don't believe what he says, you will die in your sins and you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell. You will be unforgiven. You will suffer conscious eternal torment for the rest of your life. But that's not what God wants for you. God's desire is that all men would be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. And to that end, he sent his son to be the savior for sinners. And so the question for you is, do you believe? If you don't believe, today's the day. Today is the day. God in his sovereignty brought you here that you might believe in his son. That's the reason you're here. That's the purpose. It's the only reason you're here. God's desire is that you would believe his son. Today is the day for you to be saved. So when we pray here in a moment, just say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. There's no one right prayer. Just cry out to God and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And I tell you, if you will call upon the Lord, you will be saved. And you'll never regret it. But listen, beloved, if you're here today and you believe, hallelujah. It's only by the grace of God, right? And this message is meant to strengthen your faith. Whatever you're going through in life right now, whatever you're dealing with, whatever challenge, come back to the words of Christ and get people around you who are going to drive you back to the words of Christ and follow Jesus. One of the greatest mistakes I ever see Christians make is they don't get counsel from others when they make decisions, and they make decisions according to the desires of their flesh or according to the wisdom of the world and not according to Christ. Hey, that's why we have each other, right? That's why we have each other. Don't decide without getting wisdom from others. Get people who are going to drive you back to the words of Christ. That is key to living the Christian life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for these words. Thank you for the gospel. Help us, Father, to be faithful, to trust in your Son, to hear him, to listen to him, and to follow him as long as we have breath. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.